I really need your prayers tonight. I have a burden to be here. I had a burden to come last fall. We come down. And then the burden pretty well, what do you want to call it, quit for a while. And then I had another burden back in the spring. And it dawned on me that Brother Purvis had told me that Brother Michael Smith was holding a meeting down here. So I texted him and I said, "Are you in a meeting in La Ronda?" And he said, "Yes." I said, "I'll be praying for your meeting. I have a burden that away, so I'm praying for it." Well, I thought that would, after the meeting, it would leave. It didn't leave. So I asked Brother Michael's permission, if you want to say it that way, to come to the meeting. He said, "Sure." So here am I. Now, the burden I have tonight goes right along with what happened last night. I've had this for days. It's not something I hatched up, so to speak, or come to me after I was here. I've had it, was studying on it before I left home several days ago. So let's open tonight, St. John, the third chapter. And also I want to say that when I write what I write on the board, and when I start what I'm saying, don't jump to conclusions, please. I want you to go with me through the whole message. Don't judge it from one statement or one what's written on the board. Because if you do, you're going to end up with the end conclusion and you're probably going to cut me off and say, "I don't want to listen to that." Because what you think it is not what it's going to be. What are you giving? Now, like I said, don't jump to conclusions because this is not what you think it is. You may say, "Well, you're going to preach on giving money tonight." That's not my burden. I'm not saying I won't hit on it a little bit, but I don't even plan right now to hit on it at all. Let's lay a little foundation. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And then the 11th chapter of Acts. Another statement about the Father. "For as much then as God gave them the like gift as He did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I should withstand God?" I believe this is Peter talking here. And this is dealing with the giving of the Son of God in the first scripture, the giving of the Holy Ghost in the second scripture. But the bottom line tonight is God gave. He did not withhold anything from anybody. He not only gave, but He gave something very personal. He gave His only begotten Son. He did not just give partially. He did not just give a deformed or a thought about, but He gave the best. He gave the very best that He had. He wanted you and I to have the best that we could have, whereby that He could bring about and finish the plan that they had formulated down through the years and set before the foundation of time. God was giving the very best so you and I could have the best tonight. God wants you and I to have the best. He gave us the best. He wants us to have the best. He wants you and I to have something that will be about a glorious thing that will bless you and I, help you and I, take you and I all the way through the life and all the way to eternity and to live in heaven at the end of our life. So God gave. He loved the world. God gave what He gave because He loved you so much. If you were the only person here, didn't have anybody else alive in any place, if you were the only person here, God gave His Son for you. That's how much He loved you. That's how much He wanted to help you. That's how much He wanted to give you power and authority. That's how much He wanted to bless you in every way. And the fact that He gave His only begotten Son, the Son that was going to come down, be born of a virgin in a manger, in the most humble birth that He could have, whereby that He can set about a plan of salvation, whereby He can bless us and take us all the way through with victory. God gave. And then after Christ was crucified and He rose, then God gave the Holy Spirit to us. Christ gave, however you're going to say it. All right, let's go to Galatians, the first chapter and the fourth verse. 1 and 4. Now this is talking about Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, who gave Himself. Tonight, Christ didn't hold back one thing. He did not second step everything that was needed to be done. Everything, as far as the plan goes, He fulfilled it all the way through totally with victory. And when He got down to the end, He said, "It's finished." He didn't have to go back and do anything over. He didn't have to go back and change anything. When He got down to the end, He looked it all over. It was finished. He was blessed. He said, looked at the mother, and all of you are my brothers and sisters, and so forth. But He gave Himself. In 2 and 14 of the good book of Titus, He said, "Who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify in Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works." Now then, He says, who gave Himself? Tonight, Christ gave everything. Listen, folks, tonight, this was not an easy thing. He had the grandest place to be. He was in heaven. There was no sin. There was no devil. It was everything He wanted and had. He had everything at His fingertips, and so to speak. But yet He was willing, when the plan was set in place, the Father said, "Will you go?" And Christ said, "I'll go. I will go and give my life. I will go and do what needs to be done. I will not hold back, Father. I'm going to give and give and give." Do you realize that Christ, when He come down here, He gave over and over and over. He got tired. He was human in the flesh. He had the problems. He had the troubles that you and I have got. He had some aging. He wasn't an old man by any means. But the bottom line was, when He went through what He went through, it aged Him a lot. But the bottom line was, He kept giving and He kept giving. He had all the pulling and all the pressure and all the things. Brother Bob, I believe, mentioned the pressure that's in this pulpit. The pressure where that a companion is helpful and a blessing. But Christ didn't have any of that. But He continued to give, and He continued to work, and He continued to labor, and He continued to save, and He continued to heal, and He continued to bless. He gave, and He gave, and He gave, and He gave, and He kept giving, and today He's still giving, praise God. He doesn't hold back at all. He's still giving. God is still giving. But the bottom line was, God gave. And He said, He gave Himself for our sins. I'm thankful tonight that He just didn't give Himself for a certain thing, but He gave Himself for all. And every bit of sin, there's not a sin in the book of sins that Christ didn't die for. There's not a sin in the book of sins that He don't have the power to cleanse from. Listen tonight, if you're not saved, if you're not where God wants you to be, listen, Christ has the power. He has the blood. He has the grace. He has the victory for you in every way that you need tonight. Thank the Lord. Who gave Himself for our sins. Our sins. Your sins. Oh, tonight there's a scripture coming. Minister come one time. 1 John 2 and 1. Brother Stan Dixon come down to Shawnee one time several years ago. I was in trouble. Rebecca was in trouble. And he come to help us out one night. He preached a little message. And it said, "My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is a propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for all, for the sins of the whole world." Oh, tonight, we have an advocate. Somebody that loves us, somebody that is there for us, somebody that is sitting on the right hand, somebody that has the power to help us. We have an advocate, somebody that is interested in us and wants us. He died for us. Don't ever forget, no matter what you think, the bottom line is Christ wants you to get to heaven worse than you do, because He gave His life for that. He gave everything for that. He didn't hold back anything, but He gave everything and everything and everything over and over and over to give you a plan. And He's our advocate tonight. He's the one that we can depend on. He's the one that we can go to. He's the one that will help us. He's a mediator between God and man. Christ gave Himself to be our advocate tonight, and He wants to bless you in every way. If you need help, He's here to help you tonight. He wants to help you. He's reaching out. He's calling. Many are called, but few are chosen. And the reason they're not chosen is because the people don't choose to be saved tonight. Jesus wants to save every person because He died for them. He died. He gave His life. What is that telling you tonight? That is telling you that a man gave his life for everyone or just one. And tonight, He wants to help you. He wants to give you victory. He wants to give you power. We have an advocate with the Father. In other words, I write unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate. I'm going to tell the devil makes a heyday if we make any mistakes or have anything, any blunders or so to speak. He's right there to down us, to hurt us, to try to do everything he can to keep us down. He's working hard. But listen tonight, saints, you and I have got an advocate, praise God. We've got one that loves us. We've got one that wants to help us. We've got one that died for us. And He wants to help you and I in every way. He's a 3 a.m. God. And He works good day and night. All right, let's go to Luke 6 and 38. And please pray. God gave and Christ gave. Tonight, rich people get to a place where they basically have to start giving their money away. John Rockefeller Sr., when he was at the pinnacle of his success and all of his monetary riches, I don't know how much he was worth at that time, millions, maybe billions of dollars. They thought they would really get him and they was going to bust everything up. And when they did, it tripled his wealth overnight. But anyway, he was talking to, I don't remember if he went to, it's been several years since I read this, but he went to his CPA or bookkeeper or whatever, and his bookkeeper gave a look of the whole situation. He said, John, he said, you've got to start giving your money away. He said, if you don't give away what you have, not all of it now, but he's got to become, I can't even think of the word. Help me here. A philanthropist. I've always had trouble pronouncing that word. A philanthropist, if you do not start giving, it's going to crush you and your children and your great-grandchildren, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren. It's going to crush you. It's going to get so big you can't handle it. So you've got to give some of it away. Well, if you followed the Rockefellers some, there's at least one or two sons, that's all they did, was give money away. They live lavishly, but they still give a lot of money away. Listen, John Rockefeller set it up. He set his children in position. He retired when he was 45. He lived to about 90. He set it up. When he went to transfer the wealth from John Sr. to John Jr., he began to give millions and millions of dollars at a whack in stock and money to that son. He didn't do it all at one time, but he kept working until he gave him control of everything. The bottom line was he set his son in place to help other people. Tonight, Christ wants to set you in place to help other people. That is His burden tonight. Alright, the Bible said here in Luke 6 and 38. It said here, I get in the right chapter, it always reads right. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Give. Now you said, I knew you was going to preach on giving. No, that's all I want. One word out of that whole scripture, give. It says for you and I to give. Amen? He says for you to give. He wants you and I to give tonight. John set his whole family up to be able to give. Christ died for you to give. Amen? He died for you, us, for you and I to give the riches of the kingdom to other people. He does not want this church setting. Listen, Christ does not want people coming in being a bunch of bench warmers. He wants you to be God's workers. He wants you to get out there and do. He gives, He gives, He educates, He teaches. He brings you and I through things where we can give. Where we can give something to somebody else. And that is the whole burden of the gospel, so to speak, is to spread this gospel clear across the world. Praise God. He's not interested in it being set, confined to Hammond or to Guthrie or to Shawnee or to California or to West Virginia or to Ohio. He's got this thing set where everybody in their own entity reaches out. It's not just the ministers. It's not just the teachers. It's not just the singers. It is everybody. Everybody in the congregation. The Lord wants to take them and He wants to work with them and help them to be able to give something to somebody else or somebody else that will help them along life's way. Give and it shall be given. All right, let's go to Matthew 10 and 8. Matthew 10 and 8. He says here, this is to the disciples basically, but I believe it will fit us too. He said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. He said, freely you have received, freely give. You and I are not to charge for what God give us. There ain't no way we can afford what we got anyway. It's such a high price. Listen, what we have our hands on, folks, is not a cheap gospel. It is not a cheap life. Listen, if we were charged for the education that God gives us down through our lives, you know what it would cost us? There's no way you could even pay it. It is so great. It's so magnificent. Listen, you have a personal teacher, a personal tutor that works with you day in and day out. From the time you get saved till the time you die, He is there to help you and to bless you and to work with you. And so consequently, He's given to you all over and over and over. He's teaching you in the Word. He's teaching you in life. And we make our blunders and we make our mistakes. But we're to learn from those mistakes. We're to learn from those blunders. We're to learn the things that Christ wants us to learn and to be able to take and do the things He wants us to take. He doesn't want us to hang it up. He doesn't want us to box it up or close it up. He wants us to open up and give it to the world. Freely you have received, freely give. What are you doing tonight? What are you giving? All right, let's go to Matthew, the 5th chapter and the 13th verse. And again, we desire your prayers. Said, you're the salt of the earth. If the salt have lost its savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the salt of the earth. What is salt? If I took the salt away from every wife in this building tonight, what would you think about that? Let's just wipe salt out. Let's just take it away. Well, it ain't no good for nothing, is it? Well, Brother Marty preached on spice, I believe, last fall when he was down here. A real good message. Basically, salt adds flavor to foods. It also keeps from purification. It also helps in various ways. So consequently, if you're the salt of the earth, what are you? You're something that helps preserve other people. It's something by giving out of the gospel, by giving the gospel, by giving yourself, so to speak, part of you, so to speak. You're saved, you're sanctified, you're the salt of the earth. You're what God has got in a position to help other people by giving out what He wants you to give out, what you need to give out, what He wants given out. And so consequently, He wants you and I to take and be the salt of the earth, something that will help people. They want more. They get a taste of it and they go, Have you ever been in a position at home where you wanted something salty? When you eat something sweet, do you ever want to end it up with salty something? Sure, milk's good with chocolate cake. But what about a few chips afterward? A few pretzels, salty popcorn. You like that? You think the world is interested in what we've got? You think the world needs a good bite of salt, so to speak? Do you think they get the craving something that they don't have? Do you think they get to wanting the blessings of salvation? They may not know what it is. They may not understand it. But listen, folks, they get tired of sin. They get tired of all the things that they're going through. Did you not get tired of living in sin? Did you not get tired of being under and down and beat and the devil whipping you every which way? And you was in a position, you wanted to give this up, you wanted to change that. But like Paul said, you couldn't do it. Didn't you get tired of that? Then somebody come by and give you some hope. Somebody give you something salty, so to speak. And you get a taste of that. I like that. I want some more of that. And what did he say? And they go home and they think about what you said. Maybe you only give them a scripture. Maybe you didn't say a whole lot. But it gives them some hope. Listen, folks, we got a world that needs some hope tonight. We've got people out there. The Supreme Court's in a mess. The government's in a mess. The world government's in a mess, so to speak. What I mean by that, leaders all over the world, they're in a mess. But we got people that need some hope. We've got people that need some touches. They need a bite, some nibbles of salt that they want to come back and get some more. That tastes good. I need that. You give them something and they want more. And you give them some more and they want more. And when they do that, then you begin to be able to help them more and more. You're the salt of the earth. We are not a bunch of invaluable people tonight. We're the most valuable people in the world. You realize that? This body right here and the church of God in general around the world is a very valuable body. And Christ makes us valuable when we go out and help other people. We're giving to other people. We're reaching out to other people. Oh, tonight, the night I got saved, a man come down and worked with me for 3 hours, and I wouldn't do it. He told me at least one time, if not twice, he said, if you'll just get down here, Carl, on your knees and humble your heart, you can get it. And I wouldn't do it. He gave me some salt, and he gave me some more salt, and he worked with me, and he pleaded with me, and he knew me pretty good. We're still friends today. But thank God, when I shut them doors of that gas station that night at midnight, and I climbed in that little old car, or whatever car I was driving, and I went to the house, the main salt giver didn't quit. Jesus didn't go off. Lloyd might have went home, but Jesus rode with me to the house and He dealt with me all the way. And then when I got there and I went to bed, I couldn't go to sleep. The burden was on me and I'd been under conviction for about, I don't know how long, quite a while. And I finally rolled out of bed and I said, God, if you can do anything, have mercy on this. Oh boy, I need some help. I want out from under this. He gave me that salt. And Jesus kept working with that salt. Listen, Paul put out the plant that Apollos watered, wasn't it? And Paul planted or whatever. But said, God, give the increase, thank the Lord. Listen, ministers tonight and saints, we can do a lot. God's got to give the increase, but we're still supposed to do our part. We're still supposed to help. We're still supposed to reach out. We're still supposed to give some salt out. How much salt have you given this meeting? This month, let's go to Acts, the 3rd chapter. Acts 3 and 1. A familiar little deal with Peter. I believe it is. And what, John? Now Peter and John went out together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go in the temple asking alms? And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. He gave him heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And this is what Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping, stood and walked and entered with them in the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he that it was He which sat at four arms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at which had happened unto Him. This is quite a miracle right here. Peter and John come up there. The man wanted something, but he got far greater than what he asked for, what he wanted, what he even thought about. I wonder if he'd ever heard of Jesus. I wonder if he knew what he might know in his mind. Have you ever had a person that was a beggar that asked you for something? Like in a railroad station or whatever, back up in the Northeast or whatever. You may not ever go up there. But there's actually people that are beggars that sit and beg and want money and want help. So Peter and John come along here. And Peter, fasting his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us. Look on us." He wasn't scared of this man. He wasn't even disturbed by this man. He said, "Look on us." Tonight, can we tell the person to look on us? Can we tell them to look? And we know that we have something for them to help them with. Can we say, when we in our own mind say, "I want you to look on us. I have something for you." And I'm thinking now, I have something for you. I want to give you something. I want to do something for you. I want to be your friend, so to speak. Look on us. Look us over. What have we got? I want you to look real good. And then he reached down and he took him by the hand. Said, "Silver and gold have I none." Listen, folks, silver and gold ain't going to get us to heaven. Now, I'm an anti-giving campaign. I hadn't thought about that. Almost opposite, but my thought is tonight, silver and gold. Don't have any silver and gold. But as such as I have. And that's the way he said, "But such as I have, give I thee." I'm going to give you something, sir. I'm going to give you something more valuable than silver and gold. I'm going to touch you and take you, and by the power of Jesus Christ, His blood, His grace, His healing power. And he reached down and he took him, and a man came up from there, and God healed him instantly, praise God, and sent him on his way rejoicing. Listen tonight, do we have something we can give somebody like that? Is there any crippled people among you that you know? Is there anybody that's hobbled and messed up in their souls and in their spirits? Listen tonight. The subject of grief, and I don't really want to get on that, but I want to bring out a point. There is so many people grieving in this world, and there's so many different types of grief that there's no way that a minister or ministers could take and cover the subject. It'd take hours and hours and maybe days and weeks because it's so broad, it's so big. But the bottom line, they're there and they need you to help them. They're hobbled, they're crippled. They need you to reach out to them. They need you to give them some salt. They need you to give them some love and some mercy and some pity and some compassion. They need you to listen to them. They're crippled. They're hurting. Give I thee. Can you give anybody anything tonight? Can you reach out and help anybody? Sure you can. Give. Give. Give and it shall be given. Oh, tonight if we give out, we'll never run out. Praise God. Because Jesus will give us some more. One minister one time, he preached, he thought everything he could preach. And the Lord spoke to him and said, "I got thousands of messages you ain't preached yet, young man. I got plenty of things for you to say." Listen, sometimes we think there ain't any more we can preach, nothing more we can sing, nothing more we can do. But God's got more than you and I and all of us put together. We can give any and everything because He giveth, praise God. He giveth and He giveth again. Oh, tonight He wants to give you something. And He wants you to give it to somebody that's crippled, lame, that's messed up, that's hurting. People in hospitals, people in nursing homes, people in insane asylums, people that need touches, that need healing, that need some salt. Let's go to 2 Peter now. First chapter, I want to read here a little bit. 2 Peter 1:3. Let's go 1:4. Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, and patience good works. Now to patience godliness, and godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. I'm thankful tonight for the great, unto us exceeding great and precious promises, aren't you? Those promises belong to the people of God tonight. And they're given to us to help us, but they're given to us to give to others too. All right, now then, he goes on down here and said, but that by these you might be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust, and besides this, giving all diligence. Giving all diligence. Now this is where you and I are to the spot where we have to give to be able to give. It said, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Now then, it says over here in my little 26th translation, it said, for this very reason do you contrive to make it your whole concern to furnish. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith. Now for this very reason, you must do your level best to supplement. You should try your hardest. Do your best to add to your faith. Now tonight, saints, we live in a busy time. It's hard to get time anymore to maybe study like you'd like to. But you're going to have to add things, giving all diligence. Shut things down. Hide away. And get to a quiet spot in the closet, so to speak, where you can begin to pull from God. He's wanting to give and to give and to give again. He's wanting you to know the doctrines of the Bible. He's wanting you to know where things are at in the Bible, so that when you go to help these people, if they have any question, you can say that's John 3:16, or that's 1 John 3, or that's this scripture, or that chapter, or this verse. You know where it's at. You know how to help them. It takes time to get that. But I want to beg you tonight, listen tonight, Christ, when He was here, He knew exactly how much time He had. I've got 3.5 years in the ministry, and then it's going to be over, so to speak. He knew what He had. He put everything He had into it. He didn't miss a beat. He prayed. He fasted. He prayed all night. He done everything He needed to do because Him and the Father was working together. He was so interested in the will of the Father that He was seeking Him and working with Him. He did not want to miss anything. The whole plan of salvation for you and I hinged on this, and consequently Jesus had the will of God so in mind that He was not going to miss a beat. So because of this, He accomplished more than everybody ever will. But now then, the thing with you and I, we do not know how much time we have. So you've got to live every day thinking tomorrow is your end. You've got to learn everything you can learn. Why do you need to give all diligence? Because you're in maybe next week and God wants you to help somebody before you die. Some people say, I want to wait till my retirement and I'm going to work for God. Don't do that, folks. You need to start right now. Now's the day of salvation. Now's the time to give. Now's the time to help people. Listen, folks, the very people that you can help now may not be here when you retire. They may not be here next week. They could be gone and out into eternity, and they need you right now. Oh, Lord, help us, giving all diligence. I need to learn. Because of what God is saying, I need to learn everything I can learn right now. So that I can help. Now, I know you can't learn it all overnight, but that's why I'm saying do it now. Start right now. Don't wait, young people. Listen, young people, you can be a big help to souls. I'm a young person. You're somebody that God can use. Do you know some of the ministers in the early Reformation was quite young when they started preaching? They wasn't old timers. They were old. They were younger men. Getting in a pulpit, firing the old gospel gun, spreading this gospel and doing things. You don't have to wait till you're middle age to do something for God. You need to do it. You need to be saved. You need to be sanctified. You need to be led and know how to be led by the Spirit. And you need to do it whereby if God works with you and gives you gifts and gives you callings, you'll be able to do what God wants you to do. Because there's people out there that need some salt. There's people out there that need some healing. There's people out there that need salvation. There's people out there that needs you. Every one of you is valuable tonight. Everyone. Just the preacher. No, everybody in here is valuable. So consequently, you need to give all diligence tonight to add to your faith. Faith is very valuable. It said, repent ye and what? Believe the gospel. We've got to repent, but the next thing, we've got to have faith that He will forgive us. You've got to convey that message to a lost world. It is not something that is hard to obtain. Is all it is people repenting, humbling down, begging for mercy, and saying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Listen, those conversions in the Bible, did you find them real hard? No. Those that Philip, when it went out, it wasn't no big deal. But they went to those men and those people and they went to them. They needed the Holy Ghost or they needed salvation or whatever. And they went there by the leadings of God. When Peter went to deal with Cornelius, everything was set in place by God. Listen, folks, He's still working that way today. He's still leading that way today. He's still taking His people. One time, Brother Warner had been out on an evangelistic run, and he come in, and there was a little sister. This little sister needed help. She had talked to Sister Warner and told her, said, I want to talk to your husband when he gets in. That's fine. Well, we didn't have any cell phones then, so she couldn't just call him and tell him. She had to wait till he get in, probably. And so he come in and she told him and they set a time for the sister to come over and meet with Brother Warner and his wife and got over there and the sister was pouring out his heart, her heart, and Brother Warner sitting there going like this. He fell asleep on her. And he woke up and she'd start in again. He'd do it again. She'd do it again. He'd do it again. Finally, she got up disheartened and she walked out the door. But just down the street was a little sister God had been working with. Now listen, folks, this is a great Warner, if you want to call him that. This is a man God used as a great reformer in the Church of God movement and everything. And he couldn't even help this woman because he had been doing so much he was worn out. Listen, folks, the ministers are tired. We need you. Amen. Poor Brother Marty came in here last fall so exhausted, couldn't even preach first two services. He was tired. He's getting, I told him, you're getting older. Brother James, you're getting older. Brother Bob, you're getting older. Brother Dan, you're getting older. I ain't talking about you. I know where you're at. Michael, you're getting older. We're getting older. These hairs don't have black or red or white or black or whatever, red or blue anymore, so to speak. We're gray-headed older men now. We need you. God needs you. The world needs you. They need your help. So she turned and she went down the sidewalk. And this little sister walked out and said, come in. She opened the picket gate. I can see it in my mind, just a nice picket fence along there. And she opened the picket gate and went in. They sat down across one another. And the one that was needing help poured her heart out to the one that had, they already had it for her. And she began to tell her what to do. God began to work and began to bless and give everything she needed right there. Oh, tonight you can help. You can help. Oh, you need to give something. You need to have something to give. Add to your faith virtue. What is virtue? It's strength. It's courage. Listen, we need the world to see people that has courage tonight. We need to see people that has strength tonight. We need to see people that is able to do and to go and to hold steady with the lives that we live. Not people up and down, flipping and flopping in and out, but somebody that they can say, I've watched him or I've watched her for a number of years and they've lived for God and they hadn't let down. They had changed. They're the same. Yes, yesterday, today, and forever, so to speak. They're still holding that truth. They're still living that life. They're still doing what needs to be done. They need to see some strength tonight, folks. And then it said, to your virtue, knowledge. How much knowledge do you have tonight? How much of the Word of God do you know? The world is hung up on education, and I'm not against education so much. But this is the greatest education we can get right here. This is God's education system. This education system was given through the blood, through the power, through the workings. Brother Egbert said he got his in God's Brush Bible College, on his knees, in the bushes, praying, fasting. Listen, a lot of people done that, bless your heart. It's still valuable. They get down there and God begins to bless them and feed them and give them things whereby they can have the knowledge, they can know the Bible, they can know the Scriptures, they can know the stories, they can hear things, understand things, and be able to help people. Listen, math is good, English is good, history is good, but this is better than all that. I can't make a living. Yeah, you can. One man told me the other day, said, I've always had a job before I needed it, so to speak. He hadn't hurt. God's always been there. If you're willing to give, He's willing to give. So add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. What is temperance tonight? Part of it is self-control and self-restraint. Listen, folks, we got a world that's out of control tonight. Amen. We got millions of people that's totally out of control. This world is sick in sin till they're crazy. They have no common sense anymore. People are turning on one another. They're killing one another. This one gets mad at that one. They're having mass shooting. Listen, 25, 30 years ago, they didn't have such a thing as people going into schools and killing one person after another. That didn't happen. One of the first great slaughters or shootings like that happened in Edmond, Oklahoma, the post office. Back, I guess, in the 80s or maybe 70s. No, it was in the 80s, early 80s. Or maybe middle 80s. But that man went in there and killed a number of people. Oh, tonight, you and I need to be able to have self-control and temperance whereby they can watch us under stress and strain. They can watch us when things are blowing up everywhere else and you and I standing there with a real mild temper, so to speak. A mild being whereby we're able to hold things steady. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience. And to patience godliness. Tonight we need to have patience. How's your patience? You know what patience is? Part of it is endurance and steadfastness and fortitude and perseverance and patient endurance. The world needs to see that. They need to see something like that. All right, then he goes on down and he said, godliness. If this world ever needed to see godliness, it's now. If they ever needed to see holiness, it's now. This world is so ungodly. Probably, now I could be wrong on this, but I believe probably we live in the most ungodly time that it's ever been because of the population. Sodom and Gomorrah was bad, And God destroyed them and some other cities too. And say, well, but listen folks, San Francisco's nearly totally given in the population of that, probably more than all, maybe the whole town. The whole group of towns and maybe the whole population of earth at that time. See what I'm saying? We're living in such an ungodly time, and it's not just homosexuality, but it's all the other sins on top of that, or below that, or wherever you want to place it. Oh, tonight, we need to live a godly, holy life. We need to live it, and we need to give it out in salt. This is what God wants you to live. When your babbling churches are going right along with what the world is doing with gay marriage, that lets you know that they have allowed this thing to permeate them to the point that they don't have any common sense either. They don't have any godliness. They don't have any knowledge. If they really had what the Bible taught, they wouldn't be doing those things. We have people that is standing up against this thing. I don't know if you know it, but there was quite an article put in the Washington Post several days ago that was signed by some of the major religious leaders of this nation, telling the justices that if you pass this thing, we're not going with you, we're standing against it. Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son, Franklin Graham himself has called it a sin, it's wrong, and so forth. Listen folks, there is some people still standing. You and I need to have the holiness, the godliness, to be able to stand there and give them, thus saith the word of the Lord. We live a holy life, not a sin you must, sin you can't help it, but a life that is above reproach, a life that is with victory, with power. We're kings and priests unto God, and we're living this life and doing this life, and we need to live it before them day in and day out. They need to see some holiness. You need to be giving these things out. You need to let people see that there is faith in God. You need to let people see, give it to them, that there's people with strength, there's people with courage, there's people with endurance, there's people with steadfastness and fortitude, there's people that have some self-control. When things go wrong, you don't just blow up and go all to pieces, but you hold steady. And then it said to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. This world, if it ever needed kindness, was now. Lord, help us to be kind. Help us to be able to reach out and give to people some kindness that will touch them. Give them some salt of kindness. Give them something that will touch them deep. And then it said to brotherly kindness, charity. Now, Brother Ed hit on the charity part a lot last night, so I'm not going to say a whole lot about that. I don't want to repeat. But I want to say this much. There's a sister in a congregation. She's an old head now. Been around a long time. And that sister has worked for many, many, many years in helping people. And I've heard her say over and over and over, what I'd done was by love. She got in there and got her hands dirty, folks. Listen, you're going to have to take your white gloves off, so to speak, and get your hands dirty in some of this. You're going to have to bake the pies. You're going to have to scrub the floors. You're going to have to clean the bathrooms. You're going to have to clean the windows. You're going to have to do some things. But that is showing love when a person needs that. You're going to have to tell them smoking's wrong, drinking's wrong. The Bible teaches against that. And be able to give them the Scriptures whereby that they will be able to see. And as your love reaches out, as it permeates them, as they feast upon the salt of love, and they begin to see, well, this person lives a good life. This person loves me. And she said it's worked over and over and over. And she's got testimony for years and years and years of what she has done. And she said, I've done it by love, folks. I've done it by love. I love them. They felt that love. They knew that love. They responded to that love. And as they did, this one got saved, that one got saved, this one over here got saved. Because of love. Because of the salt of love, so to speak. And she was able to do, and is still doing, I don't know, she's 81 years old now. And she's still doing. She's still reaching out. Still doing for people at 81 years old. Listen, folks, we don't quit till we die. There's no retirement age in this thing. This is something that you do. Well, I'm too old to do that. Can you write a letter? I'm too old to do that. Can you bake a pie? I'm too old to do that. Can you make a phone call? I'm too old to do that. Can you send a text message? Well, I might not be able to do that. But anyway, there's things that even the older people can do. There's things out there that you can help them with. Listen, there was a child that sent me two grief cards and made a phone call to me. When I was in my heavy grief with Rebecca, a child. I want you to get this, folks. Some people said, I don't know what to do and how to do. You can do something. If this little doll can do it, you can too. And what she showed me was love. What she showed me that she was praying for me. What she showed me was she cared. I am sorry, Brother Carl, you lost Sister Rebecca. And I am praying for you. And I love you. This was a child, 5, 6 years old. Her mama had to help her. But I was able to get what she was getting at in the cards. A child. A little child shall lead them, folks. Don't let a child outdo you. Lord, help us tonight. We need to be able to reach out and touch people. And we can do it from a child all the way up. Give. What are you giving tonight? What is the people seeing in your lives? Peter and John didn't back up. They wasn't scared. They didn't run and hide. Said, look on us. Can you tell them to look on you? Can you tell them with confidence that I've got something to give you tonight? That I'm willing to help you? I want to help you. I'm interested in you. Listen, folks, the greatest thing you can do is say, I love you. Listen, husbands, how much do you tell your wives that? Wives, how much do you tell your husbands that? How much do you let other people know that you love them? Can they feel that love? Does it just permeate? Lord, help us tonight. Lord, help us. Help me too that we be able to permeate love out where people can feel it and know it. That these people truly do care for me. That they're willing to get out on their knees and scrub that floor and it's dirty too. And they're willing to get in that bathroom and clean that bathroom. They're willing to take the trash out. They're willing to bring me a meal. Listen, folks, tonight, this is the way we touch people. This is the way we feed them some salt. This is the way that we help them. Are we doing that tonight? All right, let's go to Matthew 5 and 14. Let's begin to finish up. You're the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now it says here in the 15th verse, neither do men light a candle, put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Where is your best light? Is up high. The lower your lights are, the less it can brighten. I mean, it can brighten somewhat. How many's ever been in a cave and they turned all the lights off? What was you able to see? Where could you run? What did you do? Nothing. You're so almost frozen. You can stick your hand up here, you can't even see your hand. But if you struck a little match, you could see that. And I've had them turn. The last Cynthia and I went to some caves when I was out in West Virginia before the meeting started. And if I remember right, one shined a light. Wasn't very big. Didn't flip on a lot of light. Just shined one light. You see that pretty good. Tonight, this world is so dark. This world is so dreary. Let your light so shine. Don't put it under a bushel, but put it on a candlestick. Listen, put it out there where it can help light up people's lives, folks. where they can see, where they can understand that there is something better than what they're doing. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which art in heaven. Do you think Peter and John, that their light was shining real good about that time? Yeah, it was. And they said, here, look on us. Look on us. They was shining pretty bright about that time. It got everybody's attention. Not only the man that got healed, but all the people that was around them. They all saw something. Praise God. Listen, folks, this thing grows. It grows. It grows. Do you say, well, I'm just one person. Do you know how much one times one times one, and you keep multiplying that out, you can take a penny and get rich with it. You know that? Have you ever multiplied that out? Have you ever heard the statistics of taking one person and start multiplying that thing out? I'm just one person, but that one person can end up being a lot of people. So consequently, every person counts tonight. Everybody counts. The little ones count. The children count. An email sent one time. I hope you love me anyway. I get on this grief because I got a burden for it. There was a child one time, had an older gentleman over here, had been married many years, and his wife died, and had a young couple over here, had had two or three children, and one boy was about 5 or 6 years old. And the mom and the child was out in the yard, and the little boy all of a sudden he took off and he ran to his neighbor and he climbed up in his lap and he sat there. And so mama looked over there and saw what he was doing, kept an eye on him and so forth. A little while he come back. And Mama said, son, what did you say? What did you tell him? I said, I did, Mama. I cried with him. I cried with him. Listen, folks, now that child light was shining so big, he was crying with him. Listen, tonight those people are out there shedding tears. There's people that's got many tears on satin pillowcases tonight that need somebody to get with them and cry with them because their heart is breaking. I had somebody tell me recently, said, oh, Brother Carl, I listened to your Bible study on grief. My companion's alive, but they're hurting me. My heart's hurting tonight. The way he treats her, the way he does her, is not biblically, well, he's not saved, so he really can't be expected to be saved. But he's not doing her right. And the pain, the pain. You can say, I know it hurts. You can say, I want to help you. What can I do? Oh, tonight the little boy said, I cried with him. Oh, tonight let your light shine. Is our light shining tonight? Is our light shining in a way that it's helping? I'm going to tell you, the Lord wants to use people, and He wants to start with you. Let's wrap it up. 1 Corinthians 14 and 1. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. All right, 1 Corinthians 12 and 31. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Tonight, saints, we need to covet something that's right. We need to covet something that's spiritual. We need to covet something that's God-given. Something that God wants to give you. Something that He wants to help you with tonight. He wants to give you some gifts. Well, I don't want any gifts. You want these gifts. How many ever liked anybody to give you anything? Anybody in here don't want anybody to give them anything? Did you not like, when you was a child, did you not like your parents to give you something for Christmas or for birthday? Sure you did. Sometimes you can't hardly sleep in anticipation. Listen, children don't want to get up 364 days out of the year, but I guarantee you on Christmas morning, they'll be up 5 o'clock in the morning. Because there's gifts there. They want those gifts. They know mom and daddy bought something to them. It might be a new car outside. It might be something big inside. There's no telling what it might be. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of people has given tonight. And the Lord wants you to desire spiritual gifts. He wants you to desire something that He's got for you. Something that will help the world. You may not have a PhD. You may not have a master's degree. But folks, you can have a master, so to speak, in God. You can have an education. You can have something that will help people. He wants to give you a gift tonight. We're way behind on getting these gifts. One time there was a woman sick unto death. Her pastor went to her and he asked her point blank, said, "Do you know what your gift is?" Now she's a very sick woman. She was not very far from death at that point. And his reasoning was he wanted to know if she had given everything and done everything and had everything the Lord wanted for her at that point. She said, "I know what it is and I got it." He backed up. He didn't question it. And in a little while, I remember how long it was, the Lord come in and healed her just like that. In answer to four or five ministers that was there and some of the congregation that night, the Lord reached down and done that. She knew what her gifts was. Do you know what your gifts are? Have you reached out for any gifts? Have you asked the Lord, "Lord, I want what You've got for me. I need something, Lord. I want You. I want Your gifts. I want to be able to give something out. I want to give something that will help people." Listen, folks, tonight there's prisoners in jail. Brother Jane, forgive me for what I said this afternoon. I should not have said that. That you quit. There are people out there that need us. There are people in jails and prisons. There are people that is crying out. When I went with Brother Richard Madden to a jail service in McAllister in Oklahoma many, many years ago, I went in there and my mindset was that there was going to be a bunch of old, hardened criminals. And to my shock and surprise, I got in there and I was probably older than a big part of them. They was all young. Listen, folks, there's young people that need you tonight. There's young people that want to do right. There's young people that need your gift and you need to seek God and reach out after Him and say, "Lord, I want what You've got for me. I want to surrender. I want to have Your will. I want to do what You're interested in. Father, please give me what You want me to have." There's people that have natural gifts, but God wants to give them the real spiritual anointed gift to go with their natural gift. There's some people can preach and sing and testify and exhort without God or the Holy Ghost, either one. But the real power is when they've got the gift behind it and God anoints behind that. And there's where the real power is. And tonight you need what God has for you. He wants to give you something. He wants to bless you. Oh, tonight, won't you reach out? Won't you say, "Lord, I want to have something. I want to get something that I can give to other people, that I can reach out to other people, that I can help other people." They're waiting. They're asking. They're begging, so to speak. There's drunks in the ditch. There's drug addicts in the deal. If you want to read an interesting book, read the ABCs of alcoholism. That was one of the greatest eye-openers I've ever read in that type of deal. I was shocked at what all was in there. That'll help you to know how bad that thing is. There's probably some on drug addicts. There's probably on various things, gambling addictions. There's people that are losing everything because of gambling. Oklahoma is so saturated with casinos, it's sickening. If they all burned down tonight, it'd be fine with me. If they were all destroyed, it'd be fine with me. Because it is destroying people's lives. And they need you to be able to go in there and say, I'm not saying go in the casino, that's not what I mean. But they need you to be able to go and help them. In some way or how, you need to have that gift. Have you got your gift tonight? Do you know what God wants you to do? Are you interested in getting the gift of the Holy Spirit and the gift of the calling that God has for you? Are you interested in that tonight? Let's stand. Let's have a number. I appreciate your prayers and your time and your attention here tonight.